Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we gather on this beautiful morning, we echo those words of the psalmist from all those years ago, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever tried to be good? Like really tried? To be, Sally Kessler, love it. Nope, good. Ever tried to be virtuous, moral, ethical? Perhaps more to the point, have you ever tried to stop doing something you knew was bad? To stop lying, to stop criticizing, to stop self-medicating, to stop being so angry all the time or gossipy or jealous or lustful? Have you ever said to yourself, I will never do that again, or I'll never say that again? I wonder if you have, how did that go? Were you successful? Were you able to reform yourself, to improve yourself, to keep your promise to yourself or to those you love? This morning, I want to talk about one of the most misunderstood aspects of Christianity, one of the most misinterpreted parts of the Bible, one of the most counterintuitive parts of the Christian life. This morning, I want to talk about God's law, God's rules, God's commandments. Because when properly understood, God's law can give birth to humility and honesty and freedom. But when misunderstood, when misapplied, God's law can bring about self-righteousness and deception and despair. In today's Old Testament reading from Exodus, after God has led his people Israel out of their slavery in Egypt, after he's parted the Red Sea and set them on the course towards the Promised Land, God calls Moses up Mount Sinai and delivers to them his law, his commandments, the requirements that God has of his people. And those are as follows. You shall have no other gods but me. You shall have no idols. You shall not misuse my name. You shall keep the Sabbath holy. And with all due respect to Eric Little from Chariots of Fire, the Sabbath is Saturday, not Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. Saturday is the seventh. Honor your parents. You shall not murder or commit adultery or steal or lie or covet anything that belongs to somebody else. You shall not be envious of those who may be more fortunate than you. And I want to be clear, these are not God's suggestions. They're not some guidance or recommendations. These are commandments. And although they may be the most important commandments, the ones etched in stone, they are by no means the only commandments in the Old Testament. In fact, there are some 613 commandments which govern everything from what one can eat and wear, the resolution of disputes, financial regulations, religious practices, festivals, cleanliness, and on and on and on. And when Moses is done delivering all of these commandments to the people, he has one final famous speech for them, a speech known as the blessings and the curses. From Deuteronomy chapter 28, here's what Moses says. If you fully obey the Lord your God, and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. It goes on to say that your herds will be blessed, your lands will be blessed, your crops will be blessed, your children will be blessed. 14 verses of blessings for obedience. And then come the curses. Here's what Moses says next. However, If you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. The dog doesn't like this part. You'll be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your fruit, your crops, your herds will be cursed. You'll be confused and diseased and defeated and destroyed. Husband and wife, parent and child will turn against one another. You and your children will be hungry and thirsty, scattered among the nations. There are 14 verses of blessings for obedience, but there are 54 verses of curses for disobedience. And at the end of all this, Moses' speech concludes with the following words. These are the terms of the covenant the Lord commanded Moses to make with the Israelites. This is the deal, people. Obey the law, and you will live. Break the law, and you will die. But then Jesus comes along, and everything gets a little more relaxed, right? Jesus is a bit more chill than Moses, isn't he? Well, yes, and actually at the same time, no. Jesus does, of course, heal on the Sabbath, which makes the religious people very angry. And Jesus associates with sinners. He befriends them, tax collectors, prostitutes, thieves. His opponents call him the friend of sinners, and he says, yes, that's what I am, the friend of sinners. But when it comes to God's law, far from relaxing things, Jesus seems actually to up the ante, to increase the demand, to turn up the heat. In the Sermon on the Mount, this famous discourse in the Gospel of Matthew chapters 5 through 7, Jesus says, you know, you heard, thou shalt not commit murder. But I say to you, anger is the same as murder. You have heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you that lust is the same as adultery. What Jesus makes clear is that it's not just what we do that matters. It's what we think, it's what we want, because God sees our hearts. Jesus says that imagining the sin, desiring the sin, I mean, I'm sure none of you have ever fantasized about what you might do to someone you don't like, right? No one's ever done that. He says that's actually the same in God's eyes as committing the sin. And when Jesus is asked to summarize the law, you know, what's the most important law? Here's what he says. And I'm paraphrasing a bit, but he says, love the Lord your God with everything you want, everything you are, everything you think, everything you have, everything you do, and love everyone else, care for everyone else, especially your enemies, the way you love and care for yourself. That, Jesus says, is God's law. That's his commandment. That is what he requires of his people, of his followers. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, Jesus says. Do this, and you shall live. How's everyone feeling right about now? It's a little heavy. Maybe a little guilty. You're thinking about all the sins you've committed in thought, word, and deed as we pray every week in the confession. There was a time in my life when I tried really, really hard to be good. Not just with my actions, but also with my thoughts. I tried to be the person that Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, to stop being angry, to stop lusting and lying, to stop sinning inside and out. And I'm happy to report that I was 100% successful. Go me. I know, it's amazing. Yeah, right. I mean, I couldn't do it. I couldn't be it. I couldn't live up to the Sermon on the Mount. Couldn't live up to the Ten Commandments. And all the effort I expended, all my attempted self-control, rather than bringing me closer to God, actually led me to resent him. Rather than being led into further love of God, I began to actually hate him because he was commanding that I do things I couldn't do and to be someone that I just couldn't be. In trying so hard to keep the commandments, I failed to keep the first commandment, the only one that really matters. And I wonder if you've ever felt like that. Have you ever tried really hard to be good and failed? Our oldest son, Jackson, when he was 3 years old, he was one of those seasons. You know, kids, little kids go through seasons where they're good and bad and good and bad. You know, he was having a rough season, spending a lot of time in his room on timeouts. And I remember him coming out of his room after one of his timeouts and saying, "Daddy, why do I always do wrong things?" Isn't that a question? Why do I always do wrong things? In 1518, Martin Luther engaged in this disputation with a Catholic theologian named Johann Eck in the German city of Heidelberg. There was a gathering of theologians and scholars who wanted to hear about his new theology, this new message that Martin Luther was propagating. And as part of this discussion, here's what Martin Luther said. "The law of God, the most salutary doctrine of life, cannot advance man on his way to righteousness, but rather hinders him." Now let me translate that. What Luther said is that the law of God, the commandments of God, which are the most beneficial, health-giving rules ever given, right? We hear these rules, and we're like, yes, that's good. They don't make us better, but actually make us worse. Now that may sound a little crazy, maybe even a little heretical, but listen to what St. Paul writes in Romans, and I'm going to paraphrase a bit for clarity. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says that no one becomes good by following the commandments. Rather, the commandments show us that we are not good. Chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says that God's law was given to increase wrongdoing. Increase wrongdoing. And then in Romans chapter 7, and I'm not paraphrasing this, this is what he actually says. "If it had not been for God's law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, seizing an opportunity in the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness." What Paul says is that being told what to do or what not to do makes us want to do the opposite. Anyone ever experienced that? Or have children? Ever told them what to do and they do the exact opposite, just like you did when your parents told you? Or maybe you do it, but you resent it. So why is this? Why do we react this way to the law? Well, the Bible says that we're born rebels. We want what we want. You know that Gadsden flag, that 1775 flag with the picture of the rattlesnake on it? What does it say? "Don't tread on me." It's sort of baked into our DNA, as Americans specifically, isn't it? Or just think about pop music over the last half century. Let me play a little game with you. In the 60s, Sinatra sang, "I did it my way." Not one of my favorite songs. In the 70s, Pink Floyd, "We Don't Need No." That's right, don't tell me what to do. In the 80s, I'm aging some of you out, but we're going to keep going. Twisted Sister, "We're not gonna take it." We're not going to take it anymore. Or in the 1990s, Rage Against the Machine. I'm going to heavily paraphrase here. "Heck no, I won't do what you tell me." Anyone remember that song? Don't look it up. Or thinking biblically, thinking about today's passage from Exodus. After the Israelites get the law, after Moses says, God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt worship no idols," what is the very first thing that the Israelites do after getting the law? They forge the golden calf. The very first thing. It's like they can't wait to break the law. And that's a pattern we see in the Bible over and over and over again, and in our lives over and over again. There's something about God's law and our sinful nature that just makes us rebel against it, reject it. So here's what the Bible says. God has given us his commandments, and they are good. They are right, they are holy, but we are not. We are rebellious, sinful. We want our own way. We don't want to be told what to do. We break God's rules. We hurt ourselves. We hurt each other. And we bring ourselves under God's judgment and wrath. And the commandments, rather than making things better, actually make things worse because we cannot keep them. So why are we here today? What hope do we have? Let me read again, Paul, from today's reading in 1 Corinthians. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jews demand signs and Gentiles desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, when I was trying so hard to be good, I forgot that Christianity isn't actually about me, about my goodness, about my sacrifice. Christianity is about Jesus, his goodness, his sacrifice for me. Here's what Paul says in Galatians. All who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the things written in the book of the law. But that's not the end of the story, because Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Jesus took our curse upon himself. On the cross, Jesus died so that we don't have to. Jesus received all of God's wrath so that we don't have to. Christianity is not about us attaining eternal life ourselves, but about Jesus giving it to us as a free gift. Jesus was the only person who ever lived who fulfilled the demands of the law in his life, and then in his death, he suffers the penalty for our lawbreaking. And when I remembered that message, which is called the gospel, it's called Christianity, when I remembered that, you know what happened in my heart and my life? I started to actually love God again. Not because Jesus commanded it, but because of what he had done for me, how he'd released me from the need to be perfect, the commandment to be good, truly good, how he had set me free from guilt and shame and judgment, how he had forgiven and accepted me. And you know what else happened? I started to actually love other people a little bit. Rather than constantly comparing myself to others, which I know none of you do, but is a real struggle for me, you know, thinking I was better or worse than them, I came to see that we are all just broken, hopeless sinners in need of God's grace. What did the collect say today? O God, who knows that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. This is part of our Anglican tradition. No power in ourselves to help ourselves. But what does God do? He comes and he helps us. He rescues us. We are all equally condemned by the law and equally saved through the cross. At the end of that Heidelberg disputation, that conversation, Martin Luther said the following thing, which I find so helpful and beautiful. He said, "The law says, do this, and it is never done. Grace says, believe in this, and everything is already done." That is Christianity. So if you've ever tried to be really good, I've got some bad news and some good news. The bad news is you're not going to make it. You'll never be good, at least not according to God's law, not according to Jesus' standards. But the good news is that you are forgiven. You are loved. You are welcomed into eternal life. And you have the freedom to just live an honest life because God knows the truth about you. And he's forgiven you. He's washed you. He's accepted you. Jesus has done it all for you. Amen.